Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, we'll start the week off by rolling out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but, you know, stop on over there. You never know what might pop up. From day to day. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, I'm out there on Twitter at Burke Time, while Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E.
All right, Dan. So, you know, Saturday night, the Lakers beat the Blazers. Of course, none of us were surprised by that at all. We knew it was going to completely happen. But something happened in the game, and I'm disappointed I wasn't watching it when this happened, that immediately just made me chuckle, because all I kept saying to myself is, God, I hope Dan's watching, even though it was Saturday night, and I figured you're probably doing something better. There was a play in the game, Dan, where a Laker player tripped over another Lakers player.
Oh, don't even say it.
And the Trailblazers were called for a foul.
Because they set the pick and roll, right? So it's their fault.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, I didn't see it. So I don't know the entire – it was just a friend of mine who reached out to me on Twitter right away when it happened, because, you know, they know we've discussed this multiple times here and, you know, all the other things that go with it. So it was just kind of like, oh, okay. But, yeah, and then, you know, just a little later on, there was a play where the Blazer center, Yusuf Nurkic, tried to dunk. You know, and Dan, he was mugged like he was walking through Central Park with $1,000 bills hanging out of his pocket. And there was no call. The whistle never blew. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, we definitely nailed this right on the head. And, you know, it was funny because, you know, obviously there's Blazers fans out there. And, you know, after they won game one, they actually thought they had a shot at this. And I'm like, guys, you know, I'm sorry. I'm like, this is what the NBA wants. They want the Lakers in the finals, and they're going to get the Lakers in the finals no matter what they have to do. You know, call it fixed, call it rigged, call it whatever you want. But, you know, interestingly, Dan, obviously – there's no home court advantage, you know, because there's no fans. So, you know, it doesn't really kind of matter much. Somehow, the Lakers shot 43 free throws, and the Blazers shot 19. Okay, now that's something that usually happens when you're at home in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know, the home team always has a decided advantage in free throw shooting. You know, that's just been one of those things that have been around forever. You know, no real reason for it. It's just how the refs call the games. Like I said, obviously, Dan, there's no home court advantage here. You know, this was just flat out, we need to make sure the Lakers win, and we're going to do it. So, you know, they play again tonight, so we'll see how, you know, if or how they juggle it. But, you know, I guess what it kind of boils down to, Dan, is this their rating answer? Because that's why they're doing it. You know, they believe LeBron and the Lakers will produce the ratings that they're so sorely missing. But, you know, if they're not getting ratings now, what makes them think they're going to get it down the road? Are you buying this as their reasoning here?
More or less. I just don't understand. This is what makes me not want to watch the NBA anymore. It's blatant.
Say whatever you want to say. It's clearly fixed. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this anymore. It's clearly fixed. However you want to look at it or whatever you want to do. They've picked their team, you know, and they're going to ride with their team. And, you know, again, you know, one of your players trips over another one of your own players and somehow they call a foul on the team you're playing against. You know, and I get it. Occasionally a ref is going to miss a call. Not that call. That was just stupid. So, you know, and it was just kind of like, okay, you know, here we go. This is what's going to happen. We'll see again tonight, but, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if I was one of those guys who makes my living as a professional better, there's no way in hell I'd put any money down on this. You know, unless I could get, like, the Lakers on the money line to win and not have to give any points or anything, I would probably bet that because they'll win. They'll probably win these next two games to move on because, you know, the NBA is going to want to get them as much rest as possible because, you know, LeBron is old. But, yeah, it just like you said, why, you know, you don't want to watch. Why would anybody want to watch when, you know, they do stuff like this?
I don't understand. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. The game on its own is fun. It's fun to watch. Well, it was really fun to watch, you know. But, I mean, if you're all into the three-point show, it's really exciting to watch. But, you know, when you bring in the fact that the league just blatantly does things to like that we're complete idiots, you know, like, I'm sorry, but any 10-year-old kid who loves this sport is going to see this stuff. I mean, you know, this is really no relevance, but as a substitute teacher, I had gym class once. I don't remember if they were second or fourth graders. They're probably fourth graders, so I think that's around 10 years old, I believe. I don't know. So we were playing soccer, and I had the soccer kid in the class who, for lack of a better word, bitched about everything and kept yelling at me to call it football and telling me that, you know, this girl's offsides and this kid's doing this wrong and this kid's doing that and blah, blah, blah. And finally, I just had to, you know, I wasn't mean to the kid at all. I'm not going to be mean to him. I just, you know, took him to the side for 2 seconds. I was like, hey, buddy, I get it. You're a pro. I'm like, you obviously know a lot more than I do about soccer. I go, but let's just remember, these kids, they're not into it. So we're going to let them slide on some things. And, you know, and I kind of gave him that wink, you know, let him know, like, you're the pro. Like, you know what's up.
Yeah.
You know, I can't teach these kids how to play like you play. And he kind of gave me that look like, oh, okay, I get it. And I was like, you know, just have fun. I'm like, kick the ball. I'm like, don't worry about your rules. But I'm like, but don't break your rules because you don't want to mess those up when you're in your, you know, your travel team or whatever you're on. He's like, oh, okay. So he was excited. But that's a fourth grader, Big Jack, who was schooling me on soccer, on football. You know what I mean? So you're telling me that anyone with the education over 10 years old who's really going to be into this game from 10 years old to, I don't know, I know you never mentioned Schaumburg-Sioux in the NBA, but I would assume even his age bracket still is into the game. So you're saying that everyone from 10 to, let's just go with 100, not saying that Stu's 100, is that dumb that we can't see that you blatantly fix the game in front of our eyes? You know, I mean, it's not like this whole COVID situation where every week all the rules and guidelines change, you know, because no one knows anything. This is concrete. Like, we know that two Lakers tripped on each other, and now, you know, the entire Lakers team all get to take a free throw technical shot.
Yeah.
I'm obviously exaggerating because I didn't see it, but, I mean, you might as well have done that, right?
Yeah, well, you know, they pretty much did. You know, I mean, with the free throw disparity, they pretty much let every Laker shoot free throws, you know, instead of the Portland team. So, you know, and I mean, you know, I almost feel like, you know, the Portland fans deserve an apology because, you know, they were the only team that did anything in the bubble. They were out of the playoffs going into the bubble, you know, so they played hard to get into the playoffs, unlike, you know, the Lakers who coasted because it didn't mean anything for them. You know, then they go out and they win a big game one, and, you know, obviously the sports world is on fire because, oh, my God, LeBron lost. Is he going to get knocked out of the playoffs? Oh, that, you know, that, oh, God, that can't happen. Look at what that would do. And all of a sudden, magically, the Lakers have won the last two games. And, you know, again, it was blatantly obvious in game three that they weren't going to give the Blazers a chance. But on a side note, Dan, I would have red carded that kid and thrown him out of class. That's just me.
What is that? For arguing with the officials?
For arguing with the official, yeah, I would have red carded him and sent him back in. But, you know, being that, you know, it is the playoff situation we're in, we did have a game already played. The Bucks beat the Magic earlier, so the Bucks now lead that series 3-1. There is a game going on right now, which I know you're not watching because you're listening to us. The Rockets are up on the Thunder. I almost call them the Clippers. The Thunder, 80-69. There's actually another game before the Lakers play tonight. You got Indiana and Miami. Miami's pretty much been dominant in that series. They're up three games to none. So maybe they'll close that out. And then, yeah, the night game has the Lakers and the Blazers. And I love how it's Lakers at Blazers on schedule. Yeah, okay. Just, you know, just put versus. How hard is it just to put versus down? So, you know, like, we honestly believe the Lakers are the Blazers. So.
Well, I mean, like, what does it matter who's at?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't. It's less stupid than the Cubs being the home team against the Cardinals for game one, and then the Cardinals being the home team for game two, and then the very next day, the same kind of disparity. So, I mean, I get it. You know, I got what they were trying to do, but at the same time, I'm like, that was just stupid. Why not just one game their home team, and then tomorrow they're all, you know, flip-flop.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. You know, while we are on the NBA, you know, the Sixers got swept out by the Celtics. Boston really dominated that series. So, of course, today the coach has got to go. So Brett Brown was fired by the Sixers today. What did I see? I think it was 7 years he was there. You know, he was the guy brought in with the, you know, their whole process of tanking, and he endured some pretty crappy seasons with that team while they were, you know, playing to get these number one draft picks that, let's face it, just haven't worked out. I mean, you know, Joel Embiid's a great player. You know, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, Ben Simmons is just kind of an injury-prone bust at this point. You know, he can't shoot three-pointers, and that's what you need to do in the, you know, the NBA. You know, I believe they ended up dumping a lot of the guys they drafted through this process. I know, you know, Nerlens Noel, I think, plays for Dallas now. And I'm trying to remember who some of the other draft picks were as time went on through all this. But, yeah, you know, again, it's like anything else, and I'm sure we've mentioned this 1,000 times here. It's the coach's fault, so he's got to go. And you know, we'll see if the next guy can trust the process and make this team that, you know, apparently, you know, was supposed to be so talented with all these draft picks that, you know, they're going to win. Oh yeah, I forgot about, you know, Markel Fultz, who I believe plays for the Magic now. He was a first pick in the draft.
Yeah, I forgot about him. He was supposed to be the savior.
So yeah, he was one of them. They also had Jahlil Okafor. He was the third pick in the draft the year after Embiid. You know, he was another guy that was gonna save them. The same year they picked Embiid, they had the 10th pick in the draft and took Elfrid Payton, who I don't even think ended up playing for him. I think they traded him before then. But yeah, they, you know, you kind of start, you know, you start looking at these picks and there's not a whole lot there that did anything for this team. You know, a couple of them are playing, you know, on other, you know, actually contributing to other teams now, but, you know, not with the 76ers. So I don't know, you know, and again, the coach always gets blamed for this, but I'm not quite sure it was his fault with the roster you gave him.
Now, spit it out. Now, I know I'm not going to get this in-depth and crazy an answer from you, and I don't even know if anyone would be able to answer it, but what the hell, what is it? What is it with Philadelphia that they just can't put it together?
Yeah,
how long have we been waiting? Since Iverson left for the last time?
Yeah,
almost 20 years now?
Yes, yeah, well, pretty much since Dr. J left. You know, I mean, you know, at least Iverson went to the finals when they weren't supposed to get there. These guys who are supposed to be, you know, all this fantastic talent haven't been able to get them anywhere. You know, what they got to the finals last year, they got beat by that Kawhi last second buzzer, the Eastern Conference Finals, excuse me. So, you know, they managed that. But, yeah, obviously, you know, with the team they've put together, that's been the talk all day is why can't they do anything? You know, so it's just kind of like, okay, well, what's the problem? And obviously, you know, you got Ben Simmons out. That's going to hurt. But, you know, I mean, every team deals with injuries. So I don't know. You know, I mean, oddly, you know, what was kind of strange is, you know, in a league where the most important thing is shooting three-pointers, they let J.J. Redick go. You know, and they signed, you know, Tobias Harris and Al Horford and, these other kind of, for who they are, they're decent three-point shooters, but that's what Redick does. You know, maybe I lied about Tobias Harris because he's only shooting 13.3% from the three-point line. So, that may be an iffy, you know, question there. But yeah, you know, you just kind of look at, you know, you look at the pieces they've put together, and it just doesn't seem to fit what they do in the NBA now. So, you know, maybe unfortunately the process was too late in getting where it needed to go, and they didn't make the kind of the right adjustments down the line so they could be part of this new, you know, this new NBA where, you know, you've got to shoot threes and, you know, get up and down the floor. You know, like I said, you know, Embiid is great. I mean, you know, he's scoring 30 points a game, getting double digit rebounds. I mean, he's basically an unstoppable monster, but they don't have anybody who can shoot the three. So, you know, that seems to be the issue, and I guess we'll see if, you know, they can address that in the off season. But I, again, you know, looking at it, I don't understand how this is the coach's fault. I get that he's the fall guy because the GM, you know, Elton Brand is the GM, wants to keep his job. So, you know, you get rid of the coach. But I, you know, is bringing in a new coach going to help this team?
They need Tibbs.
Yeah, except he already got hired.
Yeah, I know.
So, but yeah, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, you never know with basketball. If they get the right draft pick or they get the right free agent, you know, it can turn around pretty quickly. You know, I don't know their salary cap space or anything like that. So, you know, we'll have to see what they do. But I, you know, I mean, I don't understand who they're going to hire that's magically going to make them better. You know, unless they hire some shooting coach who can teach these guys how to hit the three, because that's, you know, again, that's the biggest part of the NBA game right now. You got to be able to shoot the three-pointer. You know, mm-hmm. and make it, obviously, the secondary part to that. You have to be able to hit these shots. You know, Dan and I could go out there and shoot them. Well, we're going to make them? Well, I don't know. Maybe one out of every 10 or so. Well, Dan would probably shoot better than I will because he's got better legs. But, you know, what we could, you know, we could throw them up there. So, but, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I, you know, at this point, I just kind of wrote them off and was like, yeah, okay, so they're still playing. Great, here we go. You know, I wasn't picking them to win anything anyways. You?
No.
So, yeah, you know, we'll see. But now, have you managed to turn a playoff game on yet?
No. Nope.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I ended up ever watching any of it. You know, and the odd part is I don't even know if I would watch it if the Bulls were in it.
No, I mean, I was tempted because of Jimmy Butler and the Heat, but then I just forgot about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you know, maybe as it goes on, if the Heat keep playing well, I'll check Jimmy Butler out. But other than that, I don't watch. You know, I'm not going to watch it, but – you know, unfortunately, Dan's switching it up here because that's about all the NBA talk I can actually handle. You know, I understand that baseball is a business, you know, and you have to treat it as so. But God, you know, Dan, a day like yesterday is one of the reasons why I just really flat out hate it. You know, and I understand why this happened, and I'm not sure if you saw this, but The Giants requested unconditional release waivers on Hunter Pence. You know, and to be fair, he has struggled. You know, he's hitting, what is it? It's .196 in it, you know, in his 52 plate appearances. You know, he did manage to hit a couple home runs, but it's just, you know, it's just been a struggle. And you know, they're coming up on the halfway point of the season, and you know, unfortunately, it's better for the Giants to give younger players at bats. So I understand why they did it, Dan, but God, does that suck, and I just flat out hate it. So.
Yeah, but I mean, it sucks, but he's not producing. So.
No, I know. You know, like I said, I completely understand why they made the move. You know, I get it. And then the Giants did make a trade. They picked up infielder Daniel Robertson from the Tampa Bay Rays. It's for the infamous player to be named later or cash considerations. So my guess is he'll fill Pence's roster spot. So, you know, we'll see. And I know, you know, Robertson had been a big part of the Rays, but he hasn't played yet this year. I'm guessing he was probably at their alternative training site. So, we'll see what happens there. And you know, like I said, I get the move and I understand it, but I don't have to like it because Hunter Pence has always been one of our favorite guys, and you know, maybe he can catch on and go with a full spring training somewhere, you know, next year. But I just thought, you know, it stunk. I hated it.
Yeah, I mean, and it, I guess he fears his own bat. No.
Yeah.
Bad joke.
You know, and who knows? Maybe the team that wins the World Series will pick him up, and you know, he'll win another World Series. So, we'll have to see how that goes. But I'm not counting on that. It's just trying to be nice. But yeah, So here you go, Dan. I thought this was kind of funny. You know, obviously, teams are pretty much desperate. You know, they're looking for whatever, you know, whatever they can do or anything they can do here. Well, apparently, teams are sending scouts, Dan, tomorrow night to the Sugar Land Skeeters game because Scott Kazmir is making the start. And apparently, there are teams interested in looking at him. Now, he hasn't pitched in the major since 2016. All right, he was a Dodger back then. He went 10-6 with a 4.56 ERA in 26 starts. You know, he did spend some time in the Dodgers minor league system in 2017. But yeah, apparently he's a Skeeter now, and they're going to have some guys go out and look at him. It doesn't say how many teams are going to go or anything like that, but. It appears they would like him as a left-handed reliever. Obviously, the new rules, you know, the relievers have to stay in a little longer. Well, he is 36. I don't know, Dan. Is this just kind of – is it as funny to you as it was to me?
Yeah. When I heard that name, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So – but, you know, Kazmir was one of those guys. He was supposed to be a big-time stud number one, you know, type of pitcher when he was with Tampa Bay. And, you know, for whatever reason, be it injury or whatever, it just never really came together for him. So, he is over 500 in his career. He's 108-96. But his ERA is 4.01, so he's always given up runs. So we'll see. I mean, like I said, you know, you never know with these new rules and stuff now where, you know, the reliever has to pitch, you know, he's got to face at least three batters, and, you know, you need innings out of these guys now. You know, he could probably help some team, couldn't he?
Yeah, it's possible. I don't think so.
You know what's funny is obviously the team that could use him is Tampa Bay because it seems like every one of their pitchers are hurt. I think they have 9 pitchers on the IL. So, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, hey, look, here's another J, you know, because I think Nick Anderson just got hurt yesterday. So, you know, he could probably be a good fit back there if they want to bring him in. So, you know, we'll see. It'll be goofy to kind of look at. But, you know, Dan, I did mention, you know, we're coming up onto the halfway point here. You know, I think the AL West has been the league playing all their games. I think the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants are all at the 30-game mark. But, you know, everybody else, with the exception of the teams that needed a break to get sick, are right there. You know, the trade deadline is rolling along, Dan, next week. How weird is this? Because I heard today, and this was really shocking to me, that the Marlins might be interested in adding a starting pitcher and apparently have reached out to the Angels to talk about your guy Dylan Bundy, who has just been fantastic with the Angels for, I think, all of but one start. You know, Dan, I just don't know. I guess if I'm the Marlins and I don't have to give up much, I'm okay with them making a deal. But, you know, they're in this rebuild, and, you know, I just can't see them giving up a lot to go get a veteran starter. Can you? And does it make sense to you?
Not really. I mean, well, they still have a run for the playoffs, so it doesn't hurt. But, you know, don't they still have Wei Ying Chen on their books, or is he finally off?
You know, I believe he's still on their books, but they released him. So, you know, they're still paying him, but he's not pitching for them anymore. So at least I don't believe he is. I think he finally I don't know if he's pitching for anybody. I don't even think anybody signed him. So of course he could be pitching in Japan. You know, you never know how that kind of works out. He could be back there. But yeah. Oh no, here you go, Dan. The Mariners actually signed him as a free agent and then released him. But yeah, the Marlins owed him $22 million for this season. But yeah, you know, like if you told me that, you know, the Marlins were looking to add guys and they were talking to Cleveland about trading for Clevinger or Plesac, well, you know, then I would be all in. You know, you're going to go, you know, see if you can get a young starting pitcher, you know, somebody you can hang on to for a while to add in this rotation. But, you know, I mean, they're 500 now, Dan. I mean, they're down to, you know, they're 11-11. You know, and that division is so tight. You know, they're a game ahead of the Mets, a game and a half ahead of the Nationals, and two games against the Phillies. You know, they're gonna play each other just a boatload. I just don't know if it makes a lot of sense. Again, you know, if you can get a guy for not much of a return, you know, I'm okay with that. But, you know, to go out and try to make a major trade and give up anybody that you think could be part of your rebuild just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
You know, I fully expect that the Nationals are going to start to slip now that Strasburg's done for the year. You know, there's only so far Max Scherzer is going to take them. But I mean, the Mets are still a viable team. You know, I don't know what the hell's going on with the Phillies. They made a trade over the weekend that I thought would help them. They went out and got two relievers because their bullpen sucked. Brandon Workman came in to pitch for him, been fantastic for Boston, couldn't get anybody out in a Philly uniform. So maybe it's just the Philly uniform.
I don't know. I mean, the Phillies are one of those franchise teams that you want to – I think for the league it's good if they're up there, you know. But at the same time, I just think the Ryan Howard days, and I don't know if they're going to get there as quickly as they were thinking by signing Bryce Harper.
Yeah, well, you know, remember, we were promised that not only were they going to sign Bryce Harper – but they were going to bring in more people. And, you know, I get it. You know, they did bring Didi in this year, and he's been a big help. He's actually been one of their better players. But, you know, they promised us another big-name guy. You know, remember, it was supposed to be they were going to sign Harper and Machado. You know, that was the deal last year. We could see them both in Philadelphia. And, you know, to be fair, maybe Chris Bryant will be that other guy. You know, he does have a relationship with Harper. You know, so that, you know, that is always possible. But again, I mean, he's a whole other season away from free agency. You know, we still got 2021 to go before he hits the market. So yeah, I you know, just kind of looking at them, they're disappointing to me. you know, when you kind of think about it, I just don't, you know, and I know their bullpen has stunk this year, but that's not our fault. You know, you're the one who put the team together. Didn't you know what you had?
But yeah, well, and you know, the other part of it is their pitching just hasn't came together like you would want it, no?
No, you know, let me see if I can get their starters.
Everyone keeps getting hurt.
Yeah. Well, you know, looking at it here, Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola have actually been pretty good for him, which you'd expect. You know, Arrieta's got an ERA just under 5. Zach Eflin's got an ERA just over 5. And your guy, Vince Velasquez, has an ERA at 7.62. So, yeah, I think that could be a problem.
Yeah, and I would say he's got to be, you know, and I don't want to say he's been the big disappointment, but, I mean, he has been. And it all goes back to that injury, that bicep injury a few years back. It just seems like he's never been able to kind of get away from that.
Yeah, you know, and you wonder if it's time to give up the Vince Velasquez starting experiment and just see if, you know, because he's always had a strong arm. You know, you got to wonder if maybe a guy like that could be an answer in the bullpen. You know, and it's probably something they can't do this year because, you know, to try to get a guy who used to be a starter to pitch multiple days in a row is difficult. But, you know, you can't have him going out there every start and giving up almost 8 runs. You know, that's not going to help you. So, you know, we'll, you know, but yeah, I mean, you look at it and it's like, God, this is a dumpster fire. You know, their closer has an ERA of 11.12. So, you know, and I understand, like I said, the trade looked good. They got Brandon Workman and Heath Embry. And, you know, Workman's appeared a couple times and has an ERA of 7.71. You know, after I believe he had an ERA with Boston under 2. So, you know, I guess you put a Philly uniform on and you start to give up runs. Is that how it works?
pretty much.
You know, but, you know, you look at the other things. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is hitting home runs. He's only got 2, sorry. Yeah, so Rhys Hoskins stinks. He's hitting .224 with just 2 home runs. Scott Kingery stinks. He's hitting .115. So, you know, Gene Segura's hitting .206. You know, you just kind of go, you know, you go down the line. And, I mean, obviously, it's Harper, Realmuto, and Didi who are playing really well. You know, I mean, even McCutcheon's only hitting .238. He has driven in 14, so at least he's, you know, picking up the guys on base. But, yeah, you know, and they did bring the rookie up, Alex Brohm, who's off to a nice start. So maybe that'll help them out a little bit, but I, you know, yeah, again, you know, it's maybe it's just Philadelphia because this is another team you look at and it's like, I don't know how to fix this, Dan. I mean, you look at the lineup and it looks good, but then when it gets out on the field, it doesn't produce. You know, and I mean, you know, is there a way to answer that? You know, there's really no way to answer that, is there?
No.
So, you know, I guess, you know, they just got to see if the trade works out or maybe they're going to have to try to add more to the bullpen. You know, I know they hooked up with former Cub Blake Parker. I thought it was Blaine Parker, but it's Blake Parker. You know, he hasn't given up. He's made 4 appearances, haven't given up a run and picked up a win. He's got some closing experience. Maybe him or Workman can take over in that role, you know, to see if they can relieve Neris a little bit, who's just been a complete bump as the closer so far. But, yeah, I mean, you can't keep running a closer out there with a double-digit ERA, can you? Hoping he's finally going to work it out.
Well, I'm going to say not my team, so they could do it all they want.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you're right. You're right. You know, and it just sucks, I think, for them. You know, especially if you're a Philly fan.
Right. You know, because, we saw the, here locally, we saw the Cubs do it where, it was time to remove Craig Kimbrel from the role. And, they did it. And even like, yesterday I was watching the end of that game and he came in, it's the eighth inning. You're right. All right. He can come in and work some stuff out. And, the minute he ran into trouble, they went and got him. So, they're already kind of redefining his role until, basically he can get his head out of his rear and he's either going to be Craig Kimbrel, the closer, or a very overpriced setup man. But, at least they're trying something, and you wonder if, this is something the Phillies got to do with Neris and just say, hey, you're going to come in and pitch the sixth and see if you can work it out. Or, you're going to pitch you're going to be the setup guy and see if you can help us out, because, obviously getting shelled as a closer isn't helping them win any games. But even so, at that point, they're only four out. They're only four behind the Braves.
I hate to divert it back to where we always bring things to Chicago, but, I mean, you've been pretty hard on the Cubs. And then after I get off the phone with, after we close the podcast for the evening, I kind of sit back and take a look, and I'm like, but they're still sitting at the top. And then, the record's pretty solid. And then this weekend happens.
Yep, they got shellacked by that team across town.
Yeah.
Well, here, this will make you feel a little better about their record, Dan. The only other division the Cubs would be leading is the NL East. All right, they wouldn't be ahead in any other division as of right now, and
yeah.
that's what and obviously, what kills me about the team is there's just so much damn talent on it, and they suck.
Yeah, well, and that's the worst part. I mean, it was you brought up Philly, and you want to take a look, and you put these two teams side by side, and I mean, you're looking at two potential NLCS opponents, right? Without
yes.
number, strictly speaking, we're talking, March. We put these two lineups against each other. We're like, holy crap, could be these two versus each other or one of them versus the Dodgers. And then you come into this crazy season that we're in, and we're, like you said, month in, halfway through, and you have two rosters stacked with talent. And the guys that are actually producing are coming off the bench. And, and this is where, some of the numbers really don't come into play. Yeah, it's great when a guy off the bench can come in and is hitting .307. But, when he's, had 25 at-bats, if that, it's not a 20 at-bats, it's not a huge sample. So that's where you throw the good old batting average out the door for that situation. But you just go through it. And I have way too many Cubs on my team, and it's showing because, Contreras, Caratini, who's actually doing better, but Schwarber. I don't have Baez. I couldn't finagle him away from anybody, luckily.
You want him?
Hayward, I didn't.
Yeah, I got him.
Yeah. Yeah, now you want to make that trade. I think you rejected my last one for Javi. It just you go down that lineup and you're just like, wow. What's Theo going to do? Is he going to quit, run away, run out of the city, find another organization who wants to take it up?
Yeah, because, when you look at things, I think the only – team in the National League with a better daily lineup than the Cubs is the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that lineup is just incredible. You know, and then you add the DH in, so they got a reason to play A.J. Pollock every day as long as he's healthy. You know, and it just gets, you know, even uglier for them, you know, lineup-wise. So it's just kind of like, oh, great, here we go. But, yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, you know, the Phillies, at least they, you know, they have some holes in that outfield. So I get that, you know, they're going to have an issue here or there, you know, with certain things. But, you know, you can't really say that. You know, the only weakness the Cubs had coming into the season was second base, depending on what they were going to do there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, it just for yeah, and he's been one of the better players. Yeah, you know, he's actually been one of their better hitters. So that, you know, that's been a little bit of a surprise. But, yeah, you know, you just don't, you know, and that, you know, again, that's the odd thing about baseball is, you know, you just don't freaking know. You know, I mean, you look and it's like, oh, yeah, this team should win, no problem, and they don't. You know, and I mean, it could be the, you know, the Cubs or the Mets or, you know, the Padres who have been rolling this year, you know, and it's just like a lot of times, you know, you get going in one direction and it doesn't just keeps going that way. You can't stop it. So. You know, and that, you know, and that, the weirdest part about it is, you know, that's just kind of baseball. You know, that's the way, you know, the way things go. But yeah, you know, like obviously, you know, the biggest, you know, question, you know, I have right now is, man, if I'm still a team that I think is contending, I really want to know if Cleveland is willing to give me Mike Clevinger. You know, I'll take Plesac in the deal too. I don't have any problems with that. But, you know, give me Clevinger to insert in my rotation as a, you know, a two or maybe a three, depending on which league I'm in. And, you know, let me go. You know, let me see how it is. You know, if I'm, you know, like I said, I mentioned the Marlins before. You know, I, you know, like he would be a nice fit for that right White Sox rotation, but I don't think they'll do that because it's the same division. But, you know, I mean, if I'm the, you know, the Rays with all my injuries, you know, Clevinger still has some arbitration years left. Plesac has a ton. You know, that could be a guy they, you know, they could look at. I know they don't make a lot of trades, but, you know, that could be, you know, kind of interesting. You know, the Braves have had some issues with their, you know, their pitchers getting, you know, either injured or just kind of flaming out. You know, that could be a, you know, that could be a big deal there for, you know, one of those teams, especially because, you know, we saw it again, you know, last year. What won it for the Nationals last year was pitching. You know, obviously you need timely hitting. But, man, you know, they're not going anywhere without that starting rotation. Even Anibal Sanchez pitched really good for them. So, I mean, you can see it there, and it's just kind of like, man, you know, get Cleveland on the phone and let's start talking here. And, you know, I want those guys in my rotation so they can make as many starts for me as possible. But, you know, other than that, Dan, I don't know. Do you think we'll see like an actual, because even like Clevinger and Plesac aren't big names. Do you think we'll see a big name guy moved?
No.
You know, because I know, you know, like obviously, you know, with the Phillies being, you know, like we think the Phillies are bad, but like I said, they're only four games out. So in reality, they're only two games out of the playoffs. And I've heard a lot of people say that they might trade JT Realmuto because he's heading into free agency. Dan, I just don't see that happening because, again, they stink, but they stink in the right place because they're hanging around.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they would make that trade. Do you? Why would you give up on him? You know, because that would be like saying, you know, Nolan Arenado stunk the last week, so the Rockies are going to trade him. Ooh, okay, great. Let's trade Nolan Arenado. So, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see if it, if it actually comes to fruition. But yeah, I'm just not sure. You know, I mean, who's, you know, who are the sellers? I mean, as of now, it's the Pirates, the Red Sox, the Royals, the Mariners, and the Angels. You're probably not prying Mike Trout away, right? So is there anybody on any of those teams named, Dan, that you're interested in? You know, I mean, are the Red Sox going to be able to be willing to move a guy like Xander Bogaerts just because they're having a down year? You know, I know he's got a long-term deal, but his money is actually pretty reasonable, you know, for the right team if that's the position you need. I know there's a lot of talented shortstops out there, but, you know, Bogaerts is, you know, he's close to the top of that list. I mean, do you think they would do that? I mean, a lot of their problems are the fact that Chris Sale isn't pitching this year, and neither is Eduardo Rodriguez. So they could make a quick turnaround, but dumping Bogaerts isn't going to help them.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, did anything jump out there? I mean, again, it's Pittsburgh, Boston, Kansas City, Seattle, and the Angels, who they think are definite sellers. What are you buying off those teams, Dan?
Mike Trout.
Yeah. You know, and I know there were a lot of teams that were interested in Whit Merrifield last year, but I believe the Royals wanted like four or five top prospects. So they're obviously not willing to give him up. So, you know, I mean, while there, you know, there are guys that you could go, oh, yeah, you know, of course it takes two to kind of tango with this. You know, they do think teams like, and I'm surprised to see this, but they have Detroit, Baltimore, and Miami as teams that they think will sell. And then they also have San Francisco and Texas as teams that might possibly sell. Oddly, Dan, if the playoffs started today, the Giants would be the last team in. So they're kind of in a funky position, on how they're going to do things there. There's no real reason why the Rangers should sell. Again, it looks like another year of them not going anywhere. But, you know, I guess they have Lance Lynn and Mike Minor if you're looking for pitching. I think Minor's in the last year of his deal, so he might not cost the team that much. But, yeah, I don't see names that are – you know, it's not like, you know, and to be fair, Baltimore would also be a playoff team if they started today. They would get the last spot in the American League. The White Sox would be the other wild card team, humorously. So, yeah, if the Giants do decide to sell, you know, they have all the veterans, you know, those guys like. I mean, you know, you got Cueto, Samardzija, and Gausman as starters. I'm sure they'd be willing to move your guy, Tony Watson. So, I think, didn't we talk about this last year with the Giants too, Dan?
Yeah.
I say, it sounds really familiar. But, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it's one of those things of, you know, who will and who won't. And, I mentioned, the Orioles would be the last playoff team right now in the American League. The Tigers are two games back. The Royals are three games back. And the Giants are technically tied for the seventh spot, so they would be in. You know, with the way things are going, Dan, do you even make a trade, or you just kind of, you know, what they say, you go home with the one that brought you to the dance?
I think that's the thing. I mean, it's just, I don't know, when you look at any of these teams this year, I don't care. You know, you're in first place, whatever, what position you're in. I don't think big moves are necessary because this season is a wash. Yeah, you know, let's just say for some odd reason, the White Sox run it all the way up to the World Series and they win it. Great. But to me, it doesn't count really as that great of an achievement. And even if my Chicago Cubs somehow put it together and run all the way to World Series, I'm going to still say the same thing. I just don't care. So, I mean, unless you're in a position like the Cubs where you have Chris Bryant, who you know is not going to re-sign, these are the guys you're going to want to trade. So if any big moves are made, I think it's going to be like a Mookie Betts situation from last year, right? You know?
Yeah.
He's coming up towards the end of his term with the team, so time to move away from him.
Yeah, because, you know, you look at the bigger names, and obviously, you know, I mentioned Arenado kind of jokingly, but the Rockies have talked about dealing him. You know, then you have Francisco Lindor and Chris Bryant, who are both in the exact same spot. You know, they're both one more full season away from free agency. But, you know, at this point, I mean, the Cubs are winning. So are the Indians. They're not going to move either of those guys in this type of situation, are they? I mean, that would be stupid. So, you know, that, and, you know, imagine this, Dan. Say, you know, let's go back to the Phillies like we were talking about. Say they put together this big deal with the Cubs and they acquire Chris Bryant. You know, what if Bryant goes, oh, hey, that's great. I'm going to opt out for the rest of the year. You know, because you got to figure, you know, any married guy with kids isn't going to want to uproot and move his family in this type of situation, are they?
No.
So, yeah, so imagine that. You go out and make a big deal. And the guy goes, hey, yeah, thanks. I'll see you guys next year. You know, I mean, that's just nuts. So, it's not, you know, I mean, and that's always, you know, that's always a possibility you got to look at. But, yeah, I would be, you know, I'll be surprised to see if, you know, anything big. Oh, if anything big happens, you know, within the next week, I wouldn't be surprised to see some more minor deals. I know the Blue Jays picked up Dan Vogelbach. You know, the Mariners put him on waivers, so the Blue Jays acquired him for, I believe it was cash. You know, I won't be surprised if we see, like, more small deals like that, but I just don't think we're going to get anything major. So, you know, do you see it differently, Dan? Are they somebody going to go out and make a huge deal to try to win the whole thing in this short season so they can say, so they can put a banner up?
I think they just want to put a banner up. I mean, it is what it is. I still think there's no value in a champion this season.
Sports Time Radio, Garrett.